I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with our arch nemesis, Buffering the Vampire Slayer. I don't have like a pithy nickname for them right now, but just know I'm thinking one. Always thinking one.
Yes.
I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the Cordelia Chase of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad, bang bang, a.k.a. Arby's Crinkle Fry Vodka, a.k.a. Forever Alone and Don't You Forget It, a.k.a. Gwen Raiden's Red Hair Streak, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come, baby.
And I'm Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad, Pow Pow, a.k.a. Arby's Curly Fry Vodka, a.k.a. LaToya doesn't like when I do one of these, so I won't do it just for you. A.k.a. Gwen Raiden's White Hair Streak because Rogue, a.k.a. even more annoying nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 4, Episode 10, Awakening. Awakening was written by David Fury and Stephen S. DeKnight and directed by James A. Contner. It aired on the WB on January 29th, 2003.
And this is the one where the gang gathers together to take Angel's soul away, only to have a super-duper Disney dreams do come true happy ending that turns out to be a whole dang prank. And Angel gets his soul popped out of him. It's fun.
Previously on Angel, when Cordy was a higher beating, she could see everything Angelus had ever done. Whoops! She loves you, Angel, but she can't be with you. Cordy shows Connor where he was born, and look where the beast is arising from. Look at the beast killing all those people. It's Rin Fire. You're pathetic. Let's fuck. Angel sees. Cordy says it can't happen again, but Angel says, take your new boyfriend and get out. She tells him to get over it. Connor's scared that you think he's connected to the beast. And then they show like the one bit of Angel thinking that Connor's connected to the beast because that's necessary for this episode. Mm-hmm. The beast plans to blot out the sun. The sun, it's gone. Cordy has a vision of Angelus with the beast. We need Angelus.
Hell yeah.
So one of my first notes for this episode is Morgan going to hate the gotcha of this episode?
Well, to answer your question, I did not hate the gotcha of this episode. I think there was in a weird way, I think the fact that this season has been shitty really protects the gotcha because a bunch of things that are happening that don't feel particularly earned. And normally that might have, you know, set off alarm bells for me. But instead I was like, classic Angel season 4, a bunch of shit happening for no goddamn reason. And it turns out it was happening for some goddamn reason. So I actually enjoyed it. I don't know if what they're going to tell me actually happens next is good, and I really don't have any faith in them because of what this show has done to me. Mm-hmm. But I liked the gotcha is the answer. Yeah.
And just to be clear, listeners, Morgan literally does not know what's going to happen after this, because I asked her what she remembers from the rest of the season and she missed like a big gap. So
yeah, I don't remember stuff.
Well,
I'm usually so good at remembering stuff, but not for this one.
Whew, nope, not at all.
At the other.
And we have to step into a corner real quick, because I got to know how Kristen felt, because I know she doesn't remember shit.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner. It's all Riley Dotson. What the fuck? It 40 is hot. Kristen's Corner is the place for very deep thoughts.
Oh, hi. Yeah, really identifying with Morgan here on not remembering anything. I am not identifying with Morgan because I was super mad about the gotcha. I mean, I agree with you, like, your general assessment that, like, come on, Wesley's going to apologize? Come on. Cordy's going to curl her hair before they fuck? Like, what's going on?
That was the best part of the episode.
It was the best part of the episode. She looked so hot.
I'm like, why haven't we been doing that all season?
Angel needs to be her stylist, because clearly in his mind, that's what he's doing.
He's like, I wish she looked like this right now.
But it's just too much already. Like, that's how I feel, is if they had, like, not had so many other kinds of, not gotchas, but like, oh, they're kissing, but it's because they're possessed with ballet spirits, or oh, they're kissing, but actually one of them is going to go up into the heavens and be some kind of higher power. It's just too much. And that's why, like, because I really don't remember what happens this season at all. And I was like, okay, so at least they gave us this, like, something bad is clearly going to happen, but at least they gave us this kiss. So to have that, like, retconned essentially at the end was just like, come on, fuck, are you fucking kidding me? I'm mad.
Well, see, I remembered that, like, I was like, well, they're not gonna give me, like, I was so sure they weren't gonna give me any Angel Cordy stuff. I was like, I don't remember anything like this happening. And I was like, oh, pleasant surprise, a little bit of a kiss. Whoa, they're I did not remember they fucked. And then it was like, okay, because the fact that he says, if I may.
We'll talk about it at length. Don't worry.
If I may, ladies. Just a little preview for later in the episode. It's interesting that when he achieves that moment of perfect happiness, what, you know, name slides right out of those beautiful little lips.
God.
It's not Cordelia's. Interesting to say the least.
I, like, got so, because I didn't know that it was all going to be yanked away from me, I was like, oh my God, will he lose his soul for Cordelia? How is this going to stack up? What is the true moment of, like, I was like 50 mm-hmm. pages ahead and it didn't fucking matter, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was so happy.
It is amusing because you guys have, like, no memory of anything. Well, you, Morgan, you have more memory of what happened. You just, like, miss a chunk in your brain, apparently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, because, like, them. Watching this, I'm like, so how are they going to feel not remembering shit if they possibly remember at all? But it's like, because there are, like, I was like, okay, so this is why this is happening. And then, because I've been without spoiling, I said it before, but I've been, like, tracking certain things this season, because they've been, you know, hiding the ball in certain things. So I've been tracking them, and it works in this episode too, mm-hmm. to until there's the pivot, because obviously, yeah, we'll cut that out. So, and that's why he allows her to have that hair.
But also, yeah. And like, you know, I know you guys are going to get into the minutia and you just wanted me to yell for a minute, which I did. But it's funny to me now thinking about it, that part of Angel's like losing of his soul included looking at the butt of the guy who's taking his soul out of his body.
Now, I have some thoughts on that that I would like to get into. Mainly, do we believe that that is Angel, or do we believe that that is Wu-Pei?
The guy.
Like, is he like, okay, so just so you know, in my like way of getting you to get your soul back, I'm super fucking ripped and have a bunch of cool ass tattoos under all of these robes. I'm actually cool. And you gotta read. There's the moment where Wes is like, can you adjust that flashlight so he can read right in this guy's ass crack? No notes.
Instead of being like, bi for Boreanaz, it's being bi for Wu-Pei.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was like, okay, for once this show is giving me the nonsense that I need this season.
The most important information on my butt, in my butt crack. Put it in my butt crack.
I like to think it's his agenda that he's like, so my pitch is that I'm actually super cool. I think it's
okay,
all
yeah,
him.
I accept that. I accept that.
That's what I want for him. He's to blame for everything.
But yeah.
All right, I'm going to leave unless you have anything more that you need from me in this corner.
I don't think so. I was just going to say, in general, about this episode, I think it serves as like a fine companion piece to the season premiere deep down, like the opening dream, because it's like, it's Angel's ideal version of the team. You know, things being right with him and Wes, the trio are thick as thieves again, Gunn is a himbo prince, Gunn and Wes reunite. Connor finally gets it, like, as a person and a son and a champion. And, like, he still doesn't know Gunn and Fred are a thing.
Yeah, and nothing for Gunn and Fred.
Even in his dreams.
Because, like, in that moment where Wes is, like, adjusting Fred's hand, you would think, like, oh, they're going to cut to Gunn. But why would it in Angel's mind? Why would it cut to Gunn in Angel's mind?
If anything, he prefers Wes and Fred because Fred gets all flustered in that
moment.
Yeah,
it's like,
he's like, I don't see it.
He sees like there's the little nerd connection. He's like, I'll throw Wes a bone because we're friends again.
Yeah, the two dweebs can fuck. I don't care. Like, you know, he doesn't seem like he even really cares that much, but just he prefers this pairing, which don't take sides. Angel, come on, none of your business.
Also, just points for Angel before I go, that this time the dream did not include any milk. So we're improving. We're improving click by click the dreams.
Oh, so slowly. No, smidge. Actually, I'm so sorry to challenge you on this, but I did write in my notes that when Cordelia gets her vision, her eyes go milky white. So Angel's dream milk remains.
Oh, God damn it.
Dream milk.
You're right. I concede my point.
Dream milk.
All right. Have fun with this one, guys. Spoiler alert. Nothing that you talk about happens. So
there's a part. Some of it happens.
Some of it happens.
So the stuff where people are upset happens.
Fair. Yeah, Wu-Pei still wants Orange Zinger. That's real.
Kristen's Corner. Kristen's Corner.
Let's get into it, baby.
So we open with some news, VO. The Los Angeles local media has noticed there's no more sun. Everybody in LA is looking up forlornly at the missing sun and going like, oh, no.
It's a localized abnormality, they call it. And so this news anchor, I wrote in my notes, sounds like Alex Trebek. He's a black man.
Wow.
It sounds like Alex Trebek.
The black Alex Trebek sound alike.
And I learned this is Larry McCormick, who was a KTLA anchor who died in 2004. This 2003 was his last year of acting. He was in this T3 and the movie SWAT.
Oh, hell, what a filmography.
Right?
Fucking love SWAT. I haven't seen SWAT in so long. That movie fucking rips
SWAT
in my
night?
Memory.
Should we have a SWAT night?
Hell yes, we should have a SWAT night. Fucking love SWAT. Everyone, watch SWAT. Unless it's bad and I don't remember.
It probably, most likely is, yeah.
Most likely is, but I feel like it's good bad. We go to the Hyperion. Gunn is like, okay, with no sun, we're going to get a lot of vampire tourism here in Los Angeles. And that is no bueno. And I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Fred's trying to figure everything out, but she needs Wes.
Gunn makes a face. Come on. Stop this.
This is so ridiculous because I'm like, Gunn, you literally know she's saying she needs Wes's help with like symbols and stuff because she's a science girl. And yet we're constantly asking her to do the demon books as if she must know something about it. And it infuriates me to this day.
I love how Angel Subconscious says that Wesley knows all the languages.
I love it so much, but not perfectly. Like, I appreciate that he makes mistakes even in Angel's
dream. I actually hope that his dream with all the language stuff was wrong. Because, like, Angel doesn't know this shit.
Yeah, I hope that all of that stuff is bullshit and isn't true at all.
It's actually not offensive if it's wrong here, because in this context, it should be wrong.
Yeah, in this context, it's from the perspective of a real idiot, so... which this episode fucking says, which is so funny.
So Wesley like dipped after saying we need Angelus. Way to go, dude. And you know who also skipped town?
Oh, the bravest girl I know, Gwen Raiden.
To be with Nick.
Hell yeah. Oh gosh, go to her. Have some lipstick off of a silver tray. You've earned it, girl.
You know that lesbian thing, having lipsticks off a tray?
Get some new leather outfits. You deserve it. So then Connor hates his dad again.
Yeah, he's here with everyone at the hotel.
Yeah, he's like, you saw, like, you were making a pact with the beast.
The answer is among us.
And he's like, he is Angelus. And Cordelia.
Sorry, but Angel's in the office with Lorne, and he's like all smiles. And then to learn why Angel is all smiles after that, it's very funny.
Oh, fucking phenomenal. And Cordelia says, hey, fucking trust me. You have not met Angelus. And I'm like, oh, yeah, baby. He's mean.
He's mean.
He's so mean.
Gunn also hasn't met him, but he's like, I think Wes is right. But of course, he's not going to say that to Wes's face, you know?
No, never.
And then Cordelia explains at length the whole curse. She's throwing the G word all around.
Yeah, and she is also like, just so you know, like, it, you know, perfect happiness is what would do it. And that's in pretty short supply around here, yeah. So we're not in any danger of that.
She says perfect pure happiness, and then I'm like, it should have happened with Connor, but like, I don't know. But maybe somewhere deep down, hashtag Justine, Angel knew that kid had shit vibes.
I try to think that it's like the death of Darla at the same time is like such a tragedy. It makes like, it still like a mixed bag.
He has survivor's remorse.
Yeah. Like that guilt and stuff, like that's been my take for that and why that, you know, wasn't quite enough and like the fear and stuff. Because also being a new parent is, from what I understand, not just about love, but also being about like fucking terrified and exhausted and sleep deprived all the time.
Plus, you know, had Holtz like jumping down his throat, so.
What a fucking bitch. I hate that guy. The worst vibes in the game. Should have enjoyed him while he lasted.
You miss him now, don't you? You miss his vaguely European accent, don't you?
Angelus.
Angelus. You're still the beast.
I miss that melty candle of a man.
Oh, why does it have to be that version of Holtz?
Oh, I miss every version. So then in the office with Lorne and Angel, we reveal that Angel has been singing for Lorne. Very cute. It did not yield any results. Lauren's like, I can't fucking read it on you.
The lights went out in Georgia. That was his choice.
I'm not familiar with that song.
Oh, you don't like some old country?
Not really totally my deal.
It's a bop.
Kind of a bop? All right, I believe it. I think Angel and I don't have very similar music libraries. Is kind of what I'm learning through his various song choices. So Angel's like, but why can't I remember? Like, I remember everything Angelus has ever done. Like, that's the whole point of the curse. It's supposed to, like, torture me with the guilt. Like, why wouldn't I be able to access this? And Lauren's like, I don't know. Like, whatever it is, it's buried deep in Angelus's mind. And Angel's like, well, there's no way to bring him back, so I guess we're not getting at it.
So, bye! I'm not gonna fuck no one.
I'm not gonna have sex with anybody this ep. Bye! So then, at a spooky temple, Wes finds our dear, our darling Wu-Pang, who's...
Yeah.
I just love.
Wes being hot off screen by kicking some ass.
Yes, I can hear the sounds of Wes being hot. And then he, like, shoulders his way through a beaded curtain. And he's got scruff again. And I'm like, hell yeah, it's back. None of that clean-shaven shit.
See, yeah, because
see
of that.
In Oxford.
Angel Stream should have had, like, a scene where Wesley just shaves.
puts his glasses on. Again. And a nice sweater and a pair of corduroys. No, Angel, let him stay hot. So then we go to titles. We come back to the lobby, and Angel is like, sorry, I can't remember. Fred can't use the device they've gotten without the orb and is like very lost. Yeah. And is like, I don't fucking know how to do this.
I immediately just want to like smack that look off Connor's like face. Like, because we're back to I want to kill Angel. He was like at a turning point where he's like, I need my dad. But then once he could blame Angel for everything, because he thinks everyone was blaming him, even though, again, Angel was very much doing everything he could to prove it wasn't Connor.
Yeah, and I didn't buy that because, like, I felt like they had actually, like, reached a turning point. And I kind of was like I guess I get the, like, you know.
If he can point the finger at someone else, yeah.
You. But, yeah, but it's still just, like, it felt like a regression. And not that, like, regressions don't happen, but it just didn't feel, like, very motivated to me.
I know a lot of it is a dream, which is why that's the unfortunate part about this being a dream, because the Connor stuff is necessary and he needs to get it through his thick bowl cut skull. But, like, he really does still just blame Angel for everything. He's like, hey, Dad, look at me. Sit back and talk to me. Did I turn out according to plan?
I was going to make an I'm just a kid reference at some point, so I'm glad we've got a lot of simple play here.
And it's Cordelia. I'm a dick. I'm addicted to you.
Kill me. Angel tries to give a pep talk, but it's shitty, and Connor does, like, a mean, grumpy aside because he's a literal child. And this is where I wanted... I
call him Sneer McGee in my notes. Sneer McGee, just the way you like it, huh?
Absolutely. It's so stupid. And I wrote in my notes, I personally, like, that he is supposed to be 18 and is doing this shit. I learned my lesson on this shit when I was 15 years old and I was in my high school physics class, and my physics teacher, who used to kind of love to tease me, was talking about how he'd gotten a new cat, and he was talking to the class, and the whole class was like, are you gonna name it physics or something? Everybody's laughing, and he had just made fun of me for something, and then I said under my breath, maybe you should name it girlfriend so you can have one.
Okay, Liz Levin.
And then the girl across from me goes, oh my God, Morgan just said maybe you should name it girlfriend so you can have one. And I had to watch as my dumb words ruined a man's day. And I looked in his face, and the guilt that I felt in that moment will live with me until I die. And the fact that Connor Angel is, like, busting out this shit when he's, like, you should know better. Did you not make fun of your physics teacher in Kortop?
I had to come in because I couldn't live alone with the story.
I've heard the story before
that.
And it's still amazing.
So good.
It's a very guilty moment of mine that I'll never forget. But it's also a pretty good bit.
It was a good burn. It was a good burn.
And then I went up to this adult man afterwards and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I am so sorry. Like, I was kidding. I should not have said that a lot. Like, and he was like, it's okay, Morgan. But it was like, damage was done.
More like Morgan Lou, bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, also Connor's comment wasn't even funny. And it's like, come on. So as always, this story, the point of it was, Connor Angel doesn't have shit on me. And he never will.
It's... I did note throughout this episode, even though obviously, again, most of it is fake, but I'm like, Kartheiser can't, like, play genuine without it seeming like he's, like, trolling. And that's why he's so great on Mad Men.
I know, it's because it's so great that, like, everything that makes him not work as Connor Angel makes him work as Pete Campbell.
Yeah.
Just, like, he just has a punchable face. He just has, like, he has resting sneer face. Like, it just is the truth. He's, like, a very like, high-status, self-important vibe. And that's, like, not anything on, like, Kartheiser itself.
Yeah.
Just, like, people learn how they read on camera and, like, what their best
You can't play
is.
Feral if you have that vibe, though.
Yeah. Feral is just not in his wheelhouse at all. Which feels like it should have been very important in the casting.
I did keep saying Michael Pitt, but if we want someone who's not, like, a little shit, mm-hmm. Like, Charlie Hunnam, honestly. He was in the Stable of Boys at the time.
Hell yeah. Okay, was this, like, Undeclared era?
This would have been right before this, because he was in Coca-Cola Presents Young Americans. Ooh. As an antagonist, yeah.
Hell yeah. That would, honestly, hot. I love Charlie Hunnam. I think he's great. Pacific Rim 5 ever. as Charlie Hunnam's biggest defender.
I've watched all of Sons of Anarchy.
Hell yeah, baby. So Connor's like, I'm not the problem. It's you. You're the reason my life sucks. And
God
Angel,
must hate me.
I'm just a kid and life is a nightmare.
Should we just go through the entire track listing of no pads, no helmets, just balls?
Absolutely. We should. So Angel says something to him that was just said to him recently, and he didn't take well, but he assumes that his son is going to take just fine, which is, get over it.
He did not say what I wrote in my notes, which is, shut up, bitch.
Like, Angel, oh, the emotional intelligence, like a thimble's worth, this man.
And but, like, you know what? Like, Connor's acting like he is 12 years old, like...
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, like, Connor has never proved himself capable of acting any other way.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's like, hey, get over it, snap out of it, kid, I'm like, that's not enough. This kid needs therapy.
Which is why Courtney should not have fucked him, because he has the emotional maturity of a 12-year-old.
So much creepier. So, like, it just gets worse and worse. So Wes shows up. And he
oh,
has...
we have to remember, we enjoyed this episode.
Oh, yeah, I like this episode, yeah. Wes shows up with Wu-Pang and is like, he can deliver Angelus to us. Wes is like, hey, Fred, can you make some tea for this man? And I'm like, sexist? Why does the... Why her? You know?
Yeah, and this is real life. Like, this isn't a dream.
Yes! And she leads him off,
I mean,
and he requests
do I trust that Cordelia
dinner.
Can make tea?
No.
Or Gun?
Maybe. I mean, I don't think.
Do you
Gun
think Gunn's made Wesley tea? Do you think?
No. Maybe he tried.
When
once.
Wesley was in the wheelchair,
oh.
Gunn made him tea.
Wait, yeah. Actually,
in the little office.
I would really like that.
We just want our friends back.
God, I want my boys to be friends again. It, like, when they high-fived in this episode, I was like, I was so hungry for the crumbs. For the scraps,
yeah.
I was like, I will take it. I don't understand why they are high-fiving here. It is not earned. But, like,
you really, I would have thought that big group scene would have, like, tipped you off when they're all like, we're so happy. We're all friends again. It's like, come on, Morgan.
No, I was like, got another fuck. Like, well, because the thing is, like, just the way that, like, Connor had last episode been like, you know what? You're not so bad. In this episode, he's like, I hate you. I was like, okay, cool. If they're going to have one nice scene and everything's going to be shitty in, like, 10 minutes, fine.
I will say Connor's whole thing wasn't, you're not so bad. It's just, like, he was scared and wanted his daddy.
Yeah.
And now he's just being a little bitch because he's like, now I can just throw this back in his face.
Okay. Piece of shit. So then in the office, Angel and Wes have a conversation, and Wes explains Wu-Pang is of the order of the Kun Sun Dai.
And I was like, the fact that Sun is in the title, clearly he's part of this.
And I said, he's a dark mystic who can remove the soul and can also put it back.
He claims he can extract souls.
Fine print. So Angel's not on board. And I love what his reasoning. He's like, if Angelus is here, I'm not here to protect you. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, and you know what? Wes is like, I'll make necessary precautions. And Angel, honestly, he gives it to him straight. All you know is what you read in books. Remember when Wesley thought, like, he knew Angelus in season 3 of Buffy? It's like, no, you never, you're this Angel being nice to you even though you're being a little piece of shit.
Angel, yeah, because in Enemies, he meets fake Angelus. He meets, like, Angel doing a bit that he's Angelus. And he's still like, woo, like, you can handle that, you little bitch. You can't handle real Angelus. You can't handle what Willow's dead fish went through. Biggest casualty of season 2.
Stop trying to make Willow's dead fish a thing, Morgan.
We're all sad about it. Yeah, it fucking rules. He's like, get rid of the shaman. I'm not interested. And then
they use the courtyard against us.
Look. Is it my fault these two actors look beautiful, bathed in half light amongst the nature and stonework? No.
Fucking bastards.
So Angel and Cordelia are out in the courtyard and she's like, oh shit, like no sun, all the plants are gonna die. Like, this is so fucked up. And Angel's like, yeah, I don't give a shit. And she's like, I'm on your side about Angelus, by the way. And she goes on to say,
I just came to say that I'm on your side. Angelus is the jumbo family size bad of bad ideas. He'd be a danger to all of us. You made the right call. Wesley, the others, they don't get it.
But you do.
Well, if I didn't when Angelus was loose and killing in Sunnydale, then reliving his past horrors in virtual widescreen sense round during my tenure in Floatyville pretty much makes me an expert.
Right.
Yeah, she remembers inviting Angel into her car, and then she had to worry about Angelus getting into her car.
Remember when they had to do the ceremony on her car? She was really worried about the security of her car, which she was.
We never saw it, but we just know that Angel rode shotgun in Cordelia's car. Angel had to experience Cordelia's driving.
See, I wonder if Angel did that awkward thing where he sat in the back seat like she was his Uber driver in an attempt, because like she was always trying it back then. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was like, I need to be like out of arm's length. Like I need to be, I'm fine back here. That's how I like to imagine it went, that he rode in the back seat. Makes me happy. So Angel's like, do you think Connor's right that I'm being used by the Beast? She goes, no. And he says, are you just saying that? And she's like, yeah. Cute. Angel gets like offended, because this is when Cordelia's like, I mean, he's really smart. And he's like, you don't think I'm smart? And I'm like, you really aren't. And then she talks about all of, you know, like they talk about Angelus and how fucking cool he is. And he's like, God damn it.
Yeah, all she's right. Talking about evil jacking up the IQ points, but she's talking about the hotness points is what she's talking about.
Let's discuss it. Angelus is hot. I'm going to be a dang mess next episode. It's going to be so funny.
Man, he's a hot one.
Oh, so true. Rob Thomas did say it best. Then out in the lobby, Angel's like, we're going to need a cage. And Wes is like, cool.
Angel trying to prove he's smarter than Angelus by doing something fucking stupid.
As always. Then we go in the basement. Wes is welding.
Like he's Justine.
Maybe Justine taught him how to weld while they were on the boat. He was like, you know, I'll, in exchange for your freedom, you must teach me your skills.
Is that your Wesley impression?
No, it was really bad. I was like, should I do one? And then I was like, don't. And then it was nothing. I apologize. So the cage is ready. Lauren is like, hey, I'm gonna not be around for this if that's cool. And Angel's like, of course, the girls don't have to see either. Hated that. I'm like, shut
the women
fuck
folk.
Up. He's like, yeah, Cordy and Fred don't have to come down here either. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. They can handle it. Like,
I mean, Cordy ultimately says shut the fuck up too.
Yeah, but it's like, but Fred's like, no, don't have to fucking tell me twice. I don't want to come.
Fred's upstairs eating tacos. That's what I like to believe.
Oh my gosh, I hope Fred went to the diner and is like she's eating a huge plate of pancakes because of all the work she did.
You know how she went all the way to Santa Monica to go to the diner?
Yeah, classic. Her favorite
classic
thing.
Angel.
Then we have this brief Connor and Angel scene. And Angel's like, hey, I want to warn you about Angelus. And Connor's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. A is like, he's not your father. I am. And I love you. And I was like, aww.
Even after the Cordy thing, he still loves him.
Yeah.
And Angel's basically asking him to be the man of the house.
Yeah, and he's like, for the first time ever, when Angel does his, like, you might have to kill me spiel, Connor's the first person to really take it in stride. He's like, cool, totes. Like, I don't give a... He's like, no, really, I'm
that's
serious,
funny,
though. And Connor's like, yeah, I wasn't... Like, I know, I'm gonna kill you.
That's pretty funny. He's like, if anything goes wrong, you have to kill me. Okay.
That was my favorite Connor moment of the episode, for sure. I was like...
He goes full Chad.
I was like, this is a guy I can understand and respect. He made me laugh. So then in the basement a little later, Cordy's here. Wu Pang suggests another lock on the old cage as they go in. And it is spell a clock. He is about to do his thing.
Cordy's asking Wu Pang about the process. And there's like this whole receptacle that will house Angel's soul.
Yeah, it's a little jar. And
it's not Jenny's jar, though. It's different.
Does not hold 2 cents. And instead of doing the ceremony, Wu Pang goes rogue and is gonna kill the fuck out of Angel. And it's like, you think I would let you live? Like, I work for the awakened one.
Sun is in my order's name.
Die. And then he like has to grab his wrist, and you know, they end up
Angel's able to get out of his restraints, which means make it tighter, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's also a dream, also so fake, that's why he's able to get out of it. Yeah, we are officially in dreamland.
Yeah, everything that happens from now on is fake until the very last scene.
Once he starts chanting, after that, everything's fake until it's not.
Yeah. I write in my notes, there's a little fight. And then I write, Wu Pang has had his last orange zinger, R.I.P., because he stabs himself in the heart rather than reveal secrets.
Yeah.
Cool.
As Angel's like just talking to him, being like, I'm going to get my answers. I'm going to ask questions. No, you're not, bitch.
Nah, bitch. Then they realize that he has tattoos all over his body.
He's blind spotted himself. He's blind spotted.
He's blind spotting all over the place. So Wes reads the body. He's checking it out. And it
should call this episode The Body.
Hell yeah, baby. It's the recorded history of the Kun Sun Dai. And they are acolytes of the beast. There is the weird Fred and Wes moment where he's like, where he grabs her wrist to move the flashlight so he can read inside this guy's butt crack. And like Fred's like, oh, like when he touches her. And I'm like, Angel?
And there's, again, no gun reaction because Angel doesn't know they're a thing. Angel doesn't know about the issues.
I'm like, Angel, what is wrong with you? Why are you horny for this? Like, they're actively, like, not, like, she's with gun. It was supposed to be your friend. It makes me so angry. The awakening, which is, you know, all the shit the beast wants, is opposed by the Bosh Ma'ad.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Now I'm like, no, I'm mad too. I'm like, you should respect them more. They took care of your shitty son after he dropped you in the ocean.
As I've said 1,000 times, the way the show undervalues both Gunn and Fred and them as a partnership and their relationship is so fucking annoying. His soul is hers. And that's not enough for Angel the Vampire? Come on.
He still doesn't get what was happening in all of that.
What was that whole casino thing we did? I was not paying attention.
The first casino thing, not the second casino thing.
Of course. That one I've got full memory of. angry. So apparently there's this weapon called the Tooth of Light. It was forged to kill the beast, but the Bashma'ad were all killed and the weapon was never found.
And then we learn the tooth is a sword. There's no reason to call it the tooth. Just call it the sword.
Yeah. Cordy's eyes go milky and she's like, ah, I see the sword. It's pretty. It's under Los Angeles.
White vision Cordy, which does not sound good. Now that I think about it.
Milky white vision Cordy. I was like, what the fuck is this weird new vision look that Angel has come up with?
I know she's done it before. She's done it before.
She's done milky eyes before.
She's done milky eyes before. Because that's like, I think that's her higher power vision. Yeah.
Because it looks like when someone gets imperious in the Harry Potter movies. Angel's like, hell yeah, sword, can't fucking wait. And he roasts Wes for his Angela's plan. He's like, oh, shitty take out plan. My soul, huh, idiot.
And then Wesley apologizes. How you feeling there, Morgan? Does anything seem off?
In that moment, like they were like, Wes apologizing, this is huge. And I was like, is it? Like, it seems like the Wes I used to know
used
would
to,
say
but
sorry.
Like, remember, he hadn't apologized about the big thing he should be apologizing for, which they do discuss-ish here.
Yeah, it felt very much like end times, like things are so dire. If you're gonna say sorry, it might as well be now and for like, you know, almost bringing out someone's evil alter ego. Yeah.
I think the Wes of the stream makes the most sense because, like, we already know Wes is, like, he was feeling like, it's end of day shit. I got to get fucking right with God, so.
Absolutely. The Wes stuff tracked really well for me. Angel is so excited to hear that apology. They are smiling at each other.
A real reconciliation as opposed to the one where Angel's like, I guess I'm not mad at you anymore.
Yeah. And I write in all caps, the boys are back, kinda, minus gun, sad face. Because I was like,
my notes are just like all about how it's fake. Wes and Angel have a real reconciliation, parentheses, so dream. Angel amused at Wes apologizing for anything, so 100% a dream.
Fucking show.
Then I wrote, Connor interrupts, parentheses, I wonder if their issues will be resolved. His and Cordy's are already getting better.
Good God. So we go to the sewers. We're going to get the sword. Angel's like, why here? And Cordy's like,
yeah,
I think
they explained the logic of this nonsense right off the bat, honestly.
Which I really enjoyed. The idea that, like, this sword would be accessible from, like, 100 spots all over the world and it's some kind of, like, interdimensional hub thing. Fun. There's booby traps. Real, like, Indiana Jones shit.
Angel says a thing.
It was cool as hell. Oh, what does he say? Oh, he says, why did it have to be wood?
Why did it have to be wood?
Yeah, and I was like, come on.
And you're still like, this is totally real.
I'm like, well, he's a fucking dweeb, so.
He's an old dweeb. We know this.
So we find a secret passage. Connor Angel, like, stops forward because he's angry.
sorry. These booby traps, I'm like, the trio. Cordelia saying, oh, I knew you two would get me in trouble someday. I'm like, they're back together. I know it's fake, but yeah. That's also like, so yeah, a dream in my notes.
Very furious that there's a bunch of strings with bells on it and we can't let them ring and we're not doing entrapment. Like,
oh, I wrote they're doing entrapment.
I write traps, entrapment, so fucked up, no one laser dances, sad face.
We're doing entrapment and Gwen has left the building.
To have Gwen not here during our entrapment thing and to have no shots of butts going under the little bell strings, criminal.
Actually, this episode's bad.
I thought this show was written by pervs. Come on.
Just all of them in leather for some reason, dipping beneath the bells.
The one time I would have liked you to be horny and you're not. Come on.
You pieces of shit.
So I write my notes, sneaky sneak. I write in my notes. Everyone's curled their hair. Wes saves Cordelia, like, from, you know, her sleeve catching on Bell, and then fucks
then he
it up.
Fucks up himself. And Angel saves him because they're friends again,
because they're best buddies, and they all end up at like a dead end. So there are these like, there's Hebrew on the walls and all these like characters and that seem kind of random.
Yeah, and we don't really like dive into why it's Hebrew.
Yeah, I didn't know. It was like, is this random? Unless it isn't. And this is a puzzle. So there's a puzzle. Wes figures it out. It feels like watching.
Or so he thinks.
He thinks. It feels like I'm watching Uncharted, the video game. And because I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know what that feels like. Wes does it wrong and gets a stake through the hand. Oof. It's pretty funny.
And then, again, Connor, shut the fuck up, as he says, he was wrong. And it's not so much like the sneering, but the way he says it is still, like, it's a half sneer. And, like, they don't, like, close up on it, but, like, Angel, like, turns around and, like, gives him, like, shut the fuck up. What?
Please.
You don't see Boreanaz's face, but that's what he's doing.
Be normal.
Connor, you hate magic. You hate brains. What do you like?
Cordelia. Junk food.
Cordelia is both magic and brains.
Baggy shirts.
He should be wearing some JNCO jeans.
Oh my god, he should be in check.
I was gonna say, he should have wallet chains. He should just be the spirit of Justine.
He should have learned just like everything he knows about modern life from Justine.
Kristen loves that, I'm sure.
Connor like only listens to Melissa Etheridge.
I refuse to acknowledge myself as anything related to Justine, so I refuse to comment. No, thank you. My JNCOs are cool, and my wallet chain is cool, and that's all I have to say.
And Melissa Etheridge is cool.
Gotta send me a link to that stuff.
Melissa Etheridge is cool.
I mean, she is. I fucking did. Play the only one right fucking now, and I'll go.
Hit it, bitch.
Off.
We all love Melissa Etheridge. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Connor does look like he belongs at a Melissa Etheridge concert.
My straight mother has gone to several Melissa Etheridge concerts with her sister, and they are always mistaken for a couple at them. I'm like, that's lovely. And she's like, we aren't, but we have a great time. And I'm like, I love you. I hope you had a great time seeing Melissa Etheridge, Mom. If you're out there. So we keep doing the puzzle. We get the door to open enough that like Angel and Connor like shoulder it open and then do a coordinated father-son somersault.
Because Angel's like, Connor, go. And Connor's like, both of us.
Hell yeah. In your fucking dreams, bitch. That kid hates you.
And then we have a Scooby-Doo-esque split up. Which just means that Fred and Daphne are splitting up together.
I am so annoying. He's like, let's split up. Like, Cordy and Angel will go together. And then Connor will be with Wes. And Connor's like, no!
And the thing about this being fake and that sucks is just in general, there could be something interesting about a Connor-Wes thing. Because remember how Wes kidnapped Connor and then he got his throat slit and then Connor went to court trial?
Like, he has so much to make up for that. Like, I have a pitch that's going to come later on, but just mainly, I think that Connor should have a scene partner that is not Cordelia trying to fuck him.
I would agree. And I'm like, I'm now thinking about, like, we should have, like, Connor-Wes scenes where, like, Wes tries to teach Connor, like, how to be, you know, a person and a man and...
Yeah, I mean, he can be like, if you want to fault anyone for the way that your life has turned out, it's me. Like to me, like, yeah. That is...
Your
like,
Uncle Wes... Obviously they never said it, but, like, Wes is his godfather, basically.
Oh, yeah, like, 5,000%. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Season 3 is so good. So with Angel,
we can always just go back.
I will.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. But I'll know what I know now. Angel and Cordy.
You'll know his vibes will be fucked.
Oh God, the fucking vibes. And when I look at that cute little baby, I'll be like, your vibes are terrible.
He's like smiling. And you're like, I hate you.
I hate you. Fucking bitch.
Cute little cheeks.
Oh, that baby is so fucking cute. So with Angel and Cordy. Cordy's like, yeah, Connor's still confused. And I screamed into a pillow. And I was like, what would have confused him?
But then we really get Angel's subconscious going full speed with, like, every Cordelia scene. Because it's like, I've really made a mess out of a messy situation, haven't I? Got some really rotten decisions I love to take back.
Oh, look, the sword. Like, truly.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yeah, they find a room, bunch of light, mm-hmm. but where's the light coming from? And then Angel just puts his hand in a dimensional hub.
It's great. No notes. I loved the sound that his hand makes as he like goes into the like gross like see-through sucky orb place. Like there's just some kind of like goopy sounds as he's reaching in and grabbing the sword, and I loved it. I was like, okay, yes, the sounds sold it completely for me. It made me so happy.
Never said a bad word about the television series Angel, that's for sure.
God damn, I never have. You can check the tapes. and he gets a sword, and he's really happy. He's so happy to have a sword. Of course, in Angel's subconscious, everything is solved by a cool sword.
Of course. He is ready to fucking celebrate. Then things go red.
Yeah, and there is fire, and there is falling shit, and there is chaos.
And I'm like, what is this, the Lost City?
Hell yeah. See the Lost City in theaters now. So Angel helps Cordy get out. You know, they're running. They end up on the ground together.
She lands on him. They share a moment.
Like, oh, hey. Hey. Like, you know, like that classic moment.
You just went full Felicity.
I love going full Felicity. If I was really going full Felicity, I'd secretly be ruining your life.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to be like, I'd be cheating on you.
I'd be cheating. I'm like, Felicity's unhinged. Felicity needs help. I love her. Felicity's the craziest bitch I've ever known.
Because here's the thing, I don't want a reboot of Felicity because, like, the show would lean into how much she's an insane person. I'm like, no, I don't want you to lean into that. We all know she's insane.
We all knew this. It only worked because it was Keri Russell. Like, end of story. They did not know what they had. So they give each other a hug. Cordy's like, you know what? I'm sorry. I was lost and I was frightened and I wanted to be with you. So Angel, so for Angel to be okay with it. Having sex with his son had to be a stand-in for having sex with him.
Well, here's the thing. It tracks and you don't question it in the dream thing because it's like, well, she just kept saying, you're just like your father. It makes sense for what we know was the reasoning for so much.
It makes sense, but it still also makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit. Cordy's like, I want you to know that, like, all the stuff I saw you do as Angelus doesn't matter. And he's like, well, your past doesn't matter either. And I'm like, the past where she fucked your son?
Yes, that past. And again, this is his dream version. And also his dream version of her is ashamed of what she's done. As she should be.
Honestly, like, point one for Angel, because she should be ashamed. She should be fucking ashamed.
She just vomit every time she thinks about it, just like on herself.
Like, that boy, that gangly boy, like so many limbs.
Too many limbs.
Too many, just all, he's all elbows. Like, I don't want to have sex with that. Fucking horrible. I'd rather fuck Pete Campbell. I would rather fuck Pete Campbell than Connor Angel.
Yeah, he filled out by then.
He filled out, and it seems like he lays it down, you know? Like,
I don't know if we should say that.
That's fair, but you know what? Like, if it's enough for Trudy Campbell, definitely enough for me.
Hell's bells, Trudy.
Hell's bells, Trudy. So they smooch, and then Connor and Wes see them kissing. And Wes has the good grace to just be looking at the ground. He is not looking at either of them. He is not making eye contact with anyone. He is ashamed to be there.
Because this is Angel's Wes. Mm-hmm. So this Wes is not like, yeah, I fuck all the time.
He's not like, oh, cool. Are you guys all going to fuck? Cowabunga. I'm evil
Scooby-Doo,
Wes.
This crap.
Scooby-Doo this crap. The power of the dog. That did a cover match. Come on the pod. So then with Connor and Angel, like, Connor runs away because he's a little piss baby, even in Angel's fondest dreams. And Angel chases after him and he goes, I know you're hurt. And he says, you don't know anything except how to take things away from me. And then they have a little fight in this booby-trapped area.
Yeah, super booby-trapped. The asshole moves when Angel's like, hey, don't do that. Angel ends with an arrow on the shoulder. Connor says, yeah, I can really see why she wants you. I'm like, shut up, you little shit.
Ew. Like, the idea that Angel is then insecure about, like, whenever he messes up in battle and is like, she'd never want me because sometimes I make a little mistake. I'm like, no, buddy.
You know anything, Dad, except how to take things away from me. And that's why I wrote in my notes, what are you, 12?
Yeah.
And then he snivels Angel's line about nothing in this world is the way it ought to be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and he tries to kill himself, basically, with one of these little stakes.
Yeah, and he also yells, like, I should have never been born. And I like to think about it, like, now thinking about this scene, like, from the perspective, like, Angel wishes his son was just a lost kid he could save, you know? Like, there's so much more going on. So I think in a way, like, Connor's extra, like, immaturity in this episode, like, works even better because it's kind of like he wishes that it was just as easy as, like, a kid who wishes he was never born and, like,
he wishes he was the Robin to his Batman and not his son.
Mm-hmm. And Angel goes, boo-hoo, it's not all about you. And he yells, she was mine.
It goes from yay to ah.
Ew. And Cordelia says, no, she wasn't.
Yay.
Louder for the people in the back, fake Cordy. And Connor runs away again because he's a little boy.
Yeah. And the manager like, really sucks this was part of a dream because he needs to know this.
Really needs to know all of this. But to be fair, we now don't know if that's the truth. Like, I don't know how the idea that I don't know how Cordy feels about what she did, other than the fact that she's constantly going like, oh, and like pulling at her collar and like making a little face like
the real Lucille Ball right here.
And I'm like, who But how do you feel about this? The idea that she has no scenes with anyone who isn't Connor, Angel. Just infuriating. Then, in the Hyperion, Gunn, when the sword is brought to him, is so excited, and he would like to play with it.
Ooh, can I play with it?
I was like, yes to that, but no to him cutting the table on half in accident. I was like, that's a bridge too far. I was like, are we really doing, like, this level of, like, character assassination to try to set up, like, Fred and Wes some more? Like,
I mean, because in general, they have not been saying, despite what Gunn is saying to himself, the show's not saying that Gunn's an idiot.
Yeah. And that's what was so weird. I was like,
again, this is Angel's version of Gunn.
And I'm like, Angel and Gunn need to have some fucking words at this point.
I mean, the charitable way I can talk about it is when Angel got the little baby hockey sticks for them, and he and Gunn were playing. I think it is kind of just like Angel would be doing this if it not for everything. Like, they would both be playing with the sword and breaking things.
I needed him to have.
He's just in a positive way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I know that was like a return to like innocence, like, and that was what we were going for there. But I was like, he needs to be like doing that with someone else. Innocence. You know, like, I was like, if he had been playing with the sword with someone and then accidentally that had happened, but like just swinging it around himself.
Where's David Nabbit?
David, come back to me.
Angel's subconscious has David returned.
David, it's all been such a mess. He just throws himself into David's arms and weeps.
This is why we can't have David, because he would not be able to handle any of this.
He'd be like, you guys all need, like, help. You can't, like, none of you are allowed to be in charge of your own lives anymore.
David's the head of Angel Investigations now.
Please.
So David and Cynthia.
Yes! So Fred's like, hey, where's Connor? And Wes, is like, oh, he's patrolling, like, in an effort to, you know, not make it so anyone has to say something uncomfortable, which I'm like,
since he ran away like a little bitch.
Yeah, I'm like, since when? So yeah, and then Gunn splits the table in half, and I write cute, but feels like selling him out for a joke. Lorne is like, and all I've got is that some bad shit's going down in the warehouse district, like, that's kind of because everyone's like fleeing for their lives. Fred's like, well, we did some research and we figured out the beast can only be killed with a magic sword to the brain. And they're like, and if you do that, it'll also fix the sun. Sounds simple and neat enough, but there's a catch. There'll be a big release of power that will kill everything human in the area. And maybe it'll be so strong that Angel wouldn't even be able to survive it. Dun, dun, dun. And Angel's like, cool, I don't care. And he gives a big speech about how they're champions.
Yes. Yeah. He gives, like, the speech he keeps, like, not giving, basically. He didn't give earlier. Mm-hmm. He didn't give a previous episode where, like, this speech is just, like, how you're all going to probably die. Like, he gives the champion speech we've been waiting for him to give. Mm-hmm. In his mind, he's like, so Angel could technically do the speech, mm-hmm. but no, words don't come out good when he speaks.
Words don't come out good when he speaks. And also, I think he felt empowered to do that speech because I think he actually was feeling held by the people around him. Like,
yeah.
Like feeling like the camaraderie with both Wes and Cordy made him feel like he could say that. Yeah.
It's a speech he could have said in season 3 before the betrayal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's. I long for this Angel again, and I understand that things have gotten dark and that we can't all be friends anymore, but I miss when they were buddies. But it's a really nice speech, and it's sweet. He's like,
Angel misses when they were buddies too.
Yeah, and I'm like, then act like it. Like, if you actually miss when you were friends with these people, then you need to talk to them.
Words don't come out good. He thought he reconciled with Wesley earlier this season with his, like, I guess it's fine now. His bullshit.
This boy is so dumb. He infuriates me.
That's why we need Angelus.
I know. Someone's a little smarter.
We need a break from this dummy who I love.
I know.
I love and adore. I've always loved Angel. I've never thought he was too boring to have his own show. I've always been pro-Angel.
Always. But right now, he's giving me a headache. So Angel tries to leave, and Cordelia's like, no, I can't lose you. Not now. Not when we're just starting. And I'm like, zoinks. Like, we've really decided we're off to the fucking races.
I did write in my notes, though, they're being very Buffy and Angel.
Yeah, but, like, not quite.
Is that really... I don't know if I'm saying that in a nice way.
It's, yeah, for me, yeah.
Again, it's the Zeppo thing where it's like, yeah.
It's very dramatic, yeah. So Angel is like, don't worry, I'll come back for you. And then the Beast shows
up. He's never been
anyways.
More sure of anything. And that's what his subconscious says, so that means it's true.
Oh, zoinks. So Beast shows up, big horny, is like, Angelus, what gives?
It's so funny. The guys have to find him first. Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid Man style.
I can't get over how he's like, come on. I've been waiting for you. Angel, come on.
As I've mentioned so many times before, but I have to, again... Beast just did Kool-Aid Man. I have to address Sam what we're doing, Kool-Aid Man and being human.
Crucial.
Where they're asking for him a chainsaw. He's like, why do you need a chainsaw? Cut to him going through a wall going, oh, yeah.
Iconic. Legends only. he Big Horny's like, I really like you, Angelus. Like, I've given you so many chances. Like, what the heck?
And then I'm like, in the scene, is the Beast in love with Angelus? Is that what's happening here? And does he, like, see Connor as their son?
I don't know, but I love this take on the Beast, even though it's ultimately not real. Like, him just being like, wait, what? I thought we had, like, a good thing going, and, like, we were going to do the whole, like, no more sun thing together. Like, it's so good. It was really, I was just cracking up. He breaks the sword. Connor shows up in a climactic moment and saves him, and I write in my
notes. Yeah, and Connor calls the Beast a skinny ass. I'm like, one to talk.
Yeah. I write in my notes, wish this felt earned. If Connor had a non-Cordy person to talk to, dot, 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 it could. And here's the pitch. this whole time, you know who should have been talking? Connor and Gunn. Gunn should have been like, you know, I didn't grow up in a hell dimension, but I didn't grow up in a super peaceful, fun place either. And like, I learned that you have to play the hand that you're dealt. And that's what you need to fucking do here. Like,
Gunn takes Connor to South Central.
Absolutely. That's the actual thing, is that I think they should have become like frenemies, essentially, with like begrudging respect, where Gunn's like, I don't like you, but like, you need a place to be. And what if he had like joined up with like whatever
Gunn's
good
old crew.
Faction was left of Gunn's old crew? Like, that would have been a place where he could have been safe, a place where he could have felt purpose by like fighting monsters and stuff like that, like he likes. And
why aren't we staffed on a TV show? Because
don't know why. because our quotes are astronomically high, to be fair. We keep asking for $1 million a week, and we won't settle for anything less because we know what we're worth.
Yes, I'm the lowest paid support staff, but I want $1 million per week when I become a staff
Come
writer.
Come on. I mean, yeah, I'm making it on a staff writer salary right now, but like, no, on a support staff salary right now, but that's in anticipation of the $1 million a week I'm going to make when I'm staffed.
What? It's not in the budget. Find it in the budget.
Yeah, you'll find it. And like, then the moment where like, then the reason I love all of this for this moment, if it had been real, would have been like, you know, the fact that the energy blast that's going to kill everybody, you know, Cordy got pulled out of there, even though she wanted to stay. But if Gunn could like let Connor in and be like, you know what you need to do, kid, like if you want to protect your dad and you want to make it right, I'm not going to take that choice away from you. And like letting it, because maybe you can make it. And it would have been nice. I just would think that they would have been good scene partners for each other. And Gunn would have been able to like use what he's good at and what he has built and his expertise and shit like that to be helpful to the group, which, you know, would be nice to see instead of him just, you know, kind of being like the catch-all and like the backup one and like the other one. It pisses me off.
We didn't use the Gunn Squad jingle for him with the sword, but we should use it for this hypothetical situation.
Hit it, bitch.
Check that tux, check that bod. Sign me up for the Gunn Squad. Did someone say Golden God? I'm all in on the gun squad. Game boy playing, Himbal King. Sign me up for the gun squad, even when he's curmudgeoning. I'm all in on the gun squad.
Bang, bang.
If our Jawa's gonna shoot his shot.
Bang, bang.
Cracking skulls up and down the block.
Bang, bang.
Got a smile that make the panties drop.
Bang, bang.
Gun squad. Gun squad.
So unfortunately, none of that stuff happens, but a cute thing happens while we're fighting the Beast. The Beast keeps calling Angel Angelus, and Connor's like, his name is Angel. I write in my notes, this doesn't really work, but it was nice.
It only works because when you know what's going on.
Yeah, so then it turns out that was a distraction so that Angel could stab him in the head. The Beast dies, the sun comes back, and Connor, Angel, like, is like, you know, I fucking realize, like, it's always been you. She's too old for me anyway.
She's but 19, though.
And then he asks, is this what it feels like being a champion? And, like, I really want them to get to this place.
Yeah, we want Connor to learn the fucking lesson. We've been saying that all season.
It's been taking him for fucking ever. And I write this, I'm like, I love this, like, a little, you know, in my notes. I'm like, this is cool, but I write in my notes, why the fuck did they have to have sex? They should have just kissed. All of this would have been the same, and we all wouldn't have been throwing up in our mouths as much if they had just kissed. I could have thought that they kissed.
Because, yeah, Angel seeing them kiss, that's enough to still make him furious.
Yeah. And the gang's all together. I read a heart in my notes. They're all like, we did it. Yay.
I'm just cackling over the pile of ash that was the Beast. It's so funny.
Yeah, there's a pile of ash with like some big crumbles in it, like
the, and, like some big horse. Horny parts. It's so funny.
Gun and Wes High. I write Gun and Wes High Five, even though nothing has changed between them. But I'm happy. Out in LA, we get all those people who were forlornly looking up at no sun.
Yeah, all those people like on the Fox lot are being so happy.
Now they're happily looking up at the sun. And I'm like, good for
you. That chick with like the highlights.
I'm like, good for you guys. Then at Angel's room, Angel's looking out the window at all the people.
And I'm like, Courtney's hair looks great here.
Courtney's hair looks so good here. It is a crime. It has not looked like this in like all of the episodes. Courtney's like, is it hard to see everybody like enjoying the thing that you did that like you can't enjoy, like the sun? And he goes, no, no place I'd rather be. Kissy kissy.
Then here with you.
In a way, because again, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Everything she's saying is like pretty coercive. Like, he's like, I don't know.
Don't you feel like shit?
Yeah, she's kind of like, don't you want to fuck me? Like, again, it felt again.
Don't you hate that you're dumber than Angelus?
It felt again like her and Connor. And I was like, that's why I felt like this.
Has Corey always spoke like she was a groomer?
I'm like, what the fuck? Did you read?
Should we go back and like be like, has Courtney always talked like this?
Courtney fucking read a book on pickup artistry while she was a higher being, and it really affected her, I guess. Because
the closest I can think, and it's not even close at all, is like when she's telling Wes, the iron is hot.
Help me. The worst. So they kiss some more. I write in my notes, bye, there shirts.
There is some lip biting from Boreanaz, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yola.
I am pro lip biting.
Okay, well, all right. I'll write that in your Chanchi prophecies, gang. They get in bed. There's sex for sure. Yeah, there's a moment where like he's like, ugh, and I'm like, okay, they're fucking. And
of course it ends up not being real. And I wrote my notes. So, you know, we talk a lot on the Empire Diaries about the character assassination of one Mr. Tyler Lockwood by the coward Julie Plec. But we need to talk more about like what they're doing with Cordelia and Angel.
The way they, like, the way, if I had been watching this in real time as, like, a Cordelia and Angel shipper, and, like, I now, like, I know we joke a lot, and I love Buffy and Angel, but, like, yeah. I do really like Cordy and Angel, too. Like, I really would like them to kiss in a way that feels good and earned, and that really happened. And it's bananas how much they keep, like, dragging it through the mud.
It's, like, again, they are your male and female lead. They're number one and number two in your call sheet. Like, clearly, like, they're supposed to get together.
They feel, to borrow a phrase from Riverdale, they feel quite endgame. But
yeah,
it's really hard to invest in something that they keep breaking over and over again.
And
that they keep doing and undoing. Like, it just sucks. Mm-hmm.
And to reference the Vampire Diaries universe again, it's like if the originals, when Haley and Elijah finally got together, if that was fake and they just kept making it fake every fucking time.
Ridiculous.
I mean, they hold that one out, but they don't, when it happens, it's not fake, baby.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm fucking waiting. I'll see when I get there. But yeah.
You'll see, Morgan.
Oh, no.
I gotta get past that bullshit. Even.
It's just, like, ridiculous, and it's such a disservice to your characters and to your audience. Because, like, you can only...
And to your actors, honestly.
Yeah, as well, who I think could clearly, like, want to be doing this stuff.
You're like, can we just, like, finally get to, like, actually being our characters, basically?
Yeah, because it's just, like, having it but not having it. Like, you can only do that maybe once. And they've done it so many times now.
We're in season four.
And it's season 4 of 5. And, which obviously they didn't know at the time, but, like...
You could say that season 2 was when they first started to, like, plant the seeds, because that's when she was so upset with him when he became Beige Angel.
Mm-hmm. She was really,
like,
mad.
Yeah.
Remember when they sang We Are the Champions? Remember when they were all friends? Remember when Gunn and Cordy were friends? And when Wes and Cordy were friends? And people, you know, cared about each other's well-being? I do.
We have to go back to seasons 1 and 2 to record those episodes together anyway.
I know. I gotta see my friends again. Got these fucking strangers. It just...
Hey, Cordy's here! I've seen Angel. Bye!
Just sucks. It made me so bummed out.
Again, we enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, again, this is one of the best in a while, for real. But, you know, still, the season, it plods on. This is when Angel says Buffy out loud.
I will say it is Buffy ?
Yeah, because she's the only person who's ever made him truly happy. Interesting.
I saw something being like, you know, he's realizing what's happening and he's like, oh no, I need to be killed because I'm Angela, so I need Buffy here to kill me, not because I love her or anything.
What?
Okay. Buffy, oh god, no.
Okay, okay.
So he says, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. I wrote Buffy, no. Oh god, no, down in my notes because he longs for her still. He remembers
it. No, he's having PTSD.
Well.
Is actually what's happening here.
Look, it's not my fault that they're soulmates and that
Morgan and I get into a fist
they're
fight.
They're two halves
right
of the same coin
soon.
And that they just love each other and that they have a connection that will never die.
They're not two sides of the same coin. Shut the fuck
they're
up.
They're in love. They are destined. They mean everything to me.
It is also like, it is bullshit again. This the sabotaging of this.
Again, if I was a number one Cordy Angel shipper, like, I would be so furious that they're finally having sex. And out loud, he says another woman's name. And then.
Yes, it's a question mark, but it's still, like, still.
Yeah, and then the fucking rug's pulled right from under you, and actually none of it happened. Like, jail. For these people. Then. We realize where we really are. We're in the cage.
Illusion becomes reality.
And Angelus is here, baby. Wu Pang is here. He's okay. He lives to drink Orange Zinger another day.
He's normal now. He's not evil.
He doesn't have his cool tattoos. That was just a dope lie he made up.
A dope interpretation that Angel made up of, like, this looks like This looks like tribal tattoos.
So wild. And then there's a bunch of little fire.
Everyone has like tribal tattoos in Angel's mind.
And there's a bunch of little fireflies in a jar, and that's Angel's soul. And we fucking done it. And Angel's doing evil.
You see fireflies. I'm like, that looks like that. I was like, that's the milky stuff.
Yeah, it's like swirly, gooey, milky fireflies. And
yeah, it's an orb little thing, but not a Thessala.
Yeah, true. Not a Thessala. And yeah, Angelus does a spooky laugh and looks right at Cordy. And I was like,
and it's hot. But also, should Angelus and Cordy fuck?
Someone should fuck. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'll fucking take it at this point. Goddamn anything.
But now we can start fuck watch because Angelus is here. So.
Fuck watch.
I'm not going to blow my load by saying Angelus because that would be stupid.
Nor am I.
What are you going to say, Morgan?
Wu-Pang, I love you. I love your cool idea that you're covered in tattoos. I love your bits. I think you're a great dude. And I'd love to have a cup of orange zinger with you and see what happens. LaToya, who are you fucking?
You stupid, stupid girl. Dream Cordelia with her new hairdo, you motherfucker.
I was going to say my fuckwatch is Charisma Carpenter. And
right? Although second place is Dream Himbo Gun.
I love you, baby boy. No, Wu-Pang. It's you and me, boy. He's great. I love him.
They should fuck.
Hell yeah.
Can I make a pick this
Please.
Week?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to fuck Big Horny, is that
yeah.
what you call him?
That's his canonical name.
Yeah, I'm picking him, because he's gone. He's a pile of ass.
He's not gone, though.
Fake gone?
But, like, I'm taking Dream Big Horny for the win.
Because Dream Big Horny's in love with Angelus.
So Sim yeah, Big yeah, Horny.
Hot. He's, like, he's really sensitive.
Stop that.
Just so everyone knows, Morgan is taking her two pointer fingers and tapping them against each other.
I was doing the little
simp
gesture.
Yeah, I'm picking him. Thank you.
What if we made out in the memory that only Cordy can access? But that's fuckwatch.
Fuckwatch.
Now, I think it's hard to watch TV from inside a little jail cell in the basement when you don't have a soul. But maybe you can watch TV, you know, Angel's not around. Like he said, now that Angelus is here, Angel is gone. So what should Angel watch while he is not in his body? Well, he's in that little jar. They should put the little jar in front of a TV.
Well, speaking of jars, hit it, bitch.
Boom, 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 boom.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They get that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see.
I have a lot to pull from with this type of episode because the episode is, it was all a dream. So I was thinking a couple of things. One was Supernatural season 2, episode 20, what is and what should never be, what some people who are me say is the best episode of the show. Yes, it was the show's first CW season. So, but it's hard because season 1 was the only WB season.
Mm, right.
So, yeah, in that episode, Dean, Jensen Ackles, encounters a djinn. Mm. And this djinn makes him believe in a better world where both of his parents are alive. No, his mother's alive. Mm. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, of Angel fame, is dead. But his brother is happy. Adrian Palicki's alive and happy with his brother. Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. But I'm like, okay, I should pick a WB episode. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, season 3, episode 4 of Smallville, Slumber, which an episode which takes place in a lot of dreamlike moments, like a lot of dream moments, with songs exclusively from R.E.M.'s Greatest Hits album that came out in 2003.
Are you talking R.E.M. re-me?
I am baby.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, if not those, which count as WB/CW, I did want to note two other It Was All a Dream episodes, which run the gamut from bad to fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And they star our Angel alum, David Boreanaz and Amy Acker, respectively. Ooh. So for the Boreanaz contingent, we have The Bones season 4 finale, The End of the Beginning, mm-hmm. season 4, episode 26, a terrible, terrible episode that takes place in an alternate universe where everyone in the lab works at a nightclub called The Lab.
Even I have heard about this bad episode of Bones.
Booth and Bones are married. Then in the episode, it turns out it was all a dream Booth was having when he was in a coma. And they promoted this episode for weeks, being like, they're actually going to have sex. We promise this time it's for real, not a dream sequence or anything. That was a quote, I believe, from Hart Hansen.
You liar. You lie.
Yes. Now that is fake dream sex to be upset about.
Yeah, that's rude.
But then we have a phenomenal episode of television, Person of Interest, season 5, episode 4, 6741, in which Sarah Shahi's Shaw has escaped the clutches of the villains, and you know she's going to find her friends, including her very good friend, Root, played by Amy Acker. And in this episode, they have a sex scene that is all top energy as they fight for dominance.
Two tops. Okay. Yeah, all right, I'm in.
Yes, it's a two-top sex scene happening on CBS in the final season of Person of Interest.
A+.
Unfortunately, it is all a simulation, and it is the 6,741st simulation that she had to go through because the villains are trying to find out their location, but she won't give it up.
Hell yeah.
She won't give it up, baby.
Good for her.
And it's also a result of Sarah Shahi being pregnant, but them still keeping her on the show. So it's like, sometimes you can be good to an actress who gets pregnant on your show. I don't know why I had to note that, but
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem possible. It seems like it's a big problem that the ladies created that you gotta, you know, punish her for, right?
Yeah. Not in this case, apparently.
Oh, weird. Well, I guess an outlier. Fucking hate.
Womp womp.
Shit. I'm gonna kill him. Let me at him.
Just we die, bitch.
Let me at him. Let me at him. Let me at him. Why?
Yeah. Those are a bunch of shows that Angel should watch, I guess. And also the rest of us, just in general.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he's going to be in that jar for a minute, so he's got a lot of time to binge watch stuff. Mm-hmm. If he's taking Rex, let's get some Bravo in that rotation. Like, Bravo, like, I think there's probably, like, a season of OC.
There is no
right
dream
now.
Episode of a Bravo show, you stupid bitch.
They're all my dream. Angel, watch Real Housewives of Potomac. That's probably it for us, right?
I suppose.
Yeah. If
again, this was a good episode.
This was a good episode that I had a really fun time during. I was really like happy to get got by the show. I was like happy for something to like work on me and to feel
also to get got in 2022 for a show episode for 2003.
Yeah, just made me happy. Like I was just like, all right, hell yeah! Like a lot of people doing shit, things were moving, and yet no one was screaming, don't think about that now, as we barreled from moment to moment. I was not encouraged to stop thinking repeatedly.
How did you feel about the Indiana Jones aspects of it, like going through that cave? Again, after we just saw The Lost City.
I mean, I was just like, okay, that's cute. Like, I kind of wish that if they'd really do an Indiana Jones thing, they'd do like a bigger one, you know, with like more fun shit. And to be honest, like Wes is the Indiana Jones here. Like he, if any of them are, you know, because he's a professor type. But I thought it was cute.
Which is interesting that that Alexis Antipas is the Indiana Jones here, because on Legacies, obviously, we know Matt Damon is the Indiana Jones.
Jill, don't listen to this.
Yeah, right? How far is Jill, do you know?
In Angel?
Yeah.
I think like 5 episodes in, like if any. Yeah. Like,
well, she's seen Doyle die. I know that.
Rip.
So that's at least 7, right?
Oh yeah. God, good. But yeah, no, still a good ep. Like, I'm glad. I'm happy. I'm really excited to see Angelus, like, now that he's like legit back. I'm excited to make him my fuck watch every single time and break all the rules.
Are you sure that's what will be happening? Because again, you don't know what happens in this arc.
I mean, I want to kiss Angelus on the mouth, so I imagine, you know.
I feel like, I'm just saying, Angelus may have some competition.
Huh. Interesting. Well, we'll see. Yeah, I fucking can't wait. If
I can't wait.
If you would like to follow us on socials, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at AngelOnTopCast. You can go to AngelOnTop.com if you want to be sent to our Patreon where you can support us. And if you would like to follow me on social media, you can do so at Lorgan Mudich. LaToya, where can the people find you, and should they?
No, I deactivated my Twitter, so fuck off.
Okay, don't do it, gang. You heard me here first. And in the meantime, you are now checking out of the Hyperion. Ding, ding.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.